It's The Record on KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman.
I'm Ross Reynolds. Friday, the Seattle City Council holds hearings on proposed new regulations for car sharing services like Lyft, Sidecar, and UberX. At this hour, there is a rally downtown by car sharing service supporters. They say the regulations will kill their businesses. Mayor Ed Murray disagrees with some of those regulations, too.
Well, I would like to see a compromise. And a key piece of that compromise is the new players, the Lyfts, the Ubers, actually insure their drivers in the vehicles to the extent that we believe they need to be insured. I believe if they were willing to do that, some of the caps that the council is currently looking at, we could talk about not imposing. I would like to avoid caps. I'd like to extend the number of taxis that could get licenses. I think that there's a compromise here to level the playing field for taxis and for the new players.
So get insurance, but not have caps. What are the caps that you think may not be necessary if those drivers have insurance?
Currently, I don't know the exact number, but there is a cap on per company on the number of drivers they can have. What I'm concerned about is these players are already not regulated and are able to operate, and it's very, very hard to enforce for the whole city. So I'd like to see us regulate them, get the insurance they need without resorting to caps and expand the number of taxis as part of the deal.
You appointed an income inequality committee to take a look at raising the minimum wage possibly to $15 an hour. How's that going?
I think good. You know, it's made up of labor. It's made up of business and nonprofits. They're having some pretty tough but good discussions. This is something that is happening across the country. We saw this morning in the New York Times that there's discussion about this going on in New York City as well. I think the process itself, if we can reach a compromise between business, labor, and nonprofits, that we could offer a progressive model for the rest of the country about how you deal with this issue of wage inequity without ending up on the ballot or without ending up with a business-labor war.
I think they're about 6 weeks into it. Have they reached any conclusions? Is there agreement on any part of
this? So on purpose, we've asked people not to draw lines in the sand and to look at the research, both research being conducted out of Berkeley and out of UW. Once they have that research, then they'll start negotiating positions.
You know the members of this committee. You appointed them. What do you think is going to be the toughest thing to resolve?
I think there are several tough things. I think there's a question around compensation.
Is it $15 an hour?
Well, or how do you count other ways businesses compensate their employees? I think that will be difficult. I think how you get to $15 will be difficult. I personally believe that you can't do it all at once. I think that'll be a big sticking point.
Councilmember Kshama Sawant is on the committee, and she, of course, made $15 an hour a minimum wage her signature issue. And she said she'll get to work on a citizens initiative on the ballot if she thinks the committee's work is inadequate. I think she's even said she'll do that if nothing is happening by the end of March. What do you think about the idea of sending this to the voters? Let the voters decide.
So she's a council member and she's independent of the executive and she can choose to go forward that way. If she chooses to go forward by the end of March, my deadline is April. So it sounds like you know, either she's going to work with us or not. And again, I've asked people by April to give me a recommendation that I would send to the council. So I hope we could let that process work its way out because, again, I think we can create a model for how progressives solve problems. The second part of your question was?
Well, putting it on the ballot, period.
I think that would be a mistake.
Why?
Because labor would end up spending an incredible amount of money and business would end up spending an incredible amount of money. And I think that labor should spend that money on helping workers and business should spend that money on creating jobs. I don't think the ballot would be the best way to approach this. I think, again, we have an opportunity to show how we can solve problems as a progressive city without going to the ballot.
Seattle Mayor Ed Murray is my guest. You're listening to The Record on KUOW. Seattle's starting to work on a new comprehensive plan, and the idea here is how do you accommodate 120,000 more people in the city by the year 2035? And under the current plan, growth is channeled into urban centers, downtown, the U District, Northgate, and also urban villages around the city. But some critics of the plan say that the city is not providing enough services to these urban centers. They point to the very small percentage of money being spent on schools in these urban centers and the very small percentage of money on parks being spent in these urban centers. What do you think about that criticism?
So I think it's correct, and I think it's a challenge as we move forward. Are we going to put the infrastructure in place in the neighborhoods where we want growth? If we don't, growth won't work. If the schools aren't there, if transit in particular isn't there, then growth won't work. So we have a challenge ahead of us to line up the infrastructure needs of our urban villages and other urban centers with the population that we want to see grow there. I'm going to convene a neighborhood summit soon, and part of that is to listen to people who actually live in these areas to decide how we should proceed and how we prioritize and how folks who live in neighborhoods can reengage in the decision-making process about the character of their neighborhoods.
When you say citizens in neighborhoods reengaging, what do you mean by that? The neighborhood groups were, I seem to me, were more powerful in the past than they have been in recent years. What are your thoughts?
I think that's true. I think the last several administrations, the Department of Neighborhoods has shrunk. And I don't believe that we have sort of a 21st social media way of engaging neighborhoods to the extent that we can. I think we need to, again, develop a process where neighborhoods can make decisions. And that means not just people who show up to a meeting on a certain night, but it also means utilizing social media so those folks who have kids and can't come up to a meeting or folks who have to work during the evening can also participate in that decision-making process. I think it's time to reinvent our engagement process with our neighborhoods.
Well, you talked about aligning where the city spends money with where it wants growth to take place, but do you think there are any other major tweaks that the city needs to do in its comprehensive plan as it goes into this process?
Well, we need to be sure that we've gotten it right. It's an opportunity to look at what was done in the 90s when the urban villages and the comprehensive plan was put together to see what's working, to see what's not working. Again, you brought up what I think is a major issue is to be sure that we have the transit and other services in the places where we want growth. That's going to be the big challenge.
I want to get back to the Seattle Neighborhood Summit, which you mentioned earlier. There's going to be a Seattle Neighborhood Summit on April 5th at Seattle Center. In your view, has City Hall been sufficiently attentive to the needs of neighborhoods?
I think it's atrophied over time, and I think the need to reinvigorate the neighborhood department, the need to reinvigorate our process so that, again, we have people in the neighborhoods involved in the decision-making about the character of their neighborhoods is important. And I want to reemphasize another point. I think it's also important that we reach out to a broader number of people who live in those neighborhoods and involve them in the process. I think it's an opportunity with districts to look at how we organize ourselves by neighborhoods. And I think the district decision is going to restructure how we structure our neighborhood organizations.
And this is to say that within a couple of years, we're going to have most of our city council members elected by district. How do you think, what issues do you think from neighborhoods might rise to the top that have in the past been pushed aside now that there is more representation?
There's always a tension here. Having represented a district myself for 18 years in the legislature, there's always a tension between making sure that your own district gets the attention it needs from government and being concerned about the larger entity, in this case, the city of Seattle. And I think Seattle will elect individuals who will do that, who will pay attention to their neighborhoods, and maybe some neighborhoods will have more consistent attention. At the same time, I do believe we will elect people who won't forget that they're responsible for the whole city.
Seattle Mayor Ed Murray. We spoke Tuesday here at KUOW. With Marcy Silman, I'm Ross Reynolds. This is The Record on KUOW.